This is the NewsHour Science Fundown, or Rundown, with Miles O'Brien and myself, Hari Srinivasan. Thanks for joining us. So, Miles, you just had a really fascinating piece on dirty bombs in New York and how New York prepares for it and kind of all the things that they have to take into consideration.
This notion of dirty bomb, first of all, for people who aren't quite clear on the difference between it and a full-fledged nuclear device, is you take a pile of explosives and you throw something radioactive on top of it. And basically, the radiation doesn't enhance the explosion. It's just that the explosion is a way of spreading radiation. Mm-hmm. And really, more than anything, fear, panic, and the possibility of having to close down whole sections of the city. So you can imagine the New York City police are taking this very seriously. They have 2,500 officers now outfitted with these tiny little radiation detector, pager-sized devices on their belt. And as they go through their day, they relatively frequently get false alarms. They get about 400-plus a year, mostly from folks who've had some sort of medical treatment. But the fact is, they feel with these devices and some larger devices, which they have in vehicles and boats and in their helicopters, if somebody were to attempt to bring one of these dirty bombs in, it gives off enough radiation that they feel that they could interdict it.
Now, to try to get all of that equipment, all of that radioactive material, is pretty painstaking if you go back and try to dismantle smoke detectors or dismantle, you know, alarm clocks with phosphorus or whatever. So I'm wondering, where do the security forces, or Homeland Security, I guess, focus their efforts and say, where is the sort of big piles of radioactive material?
Yeah, you would have to buy about 2 million smoke detectors to get enough americium to cause any real impact whatsoever. So that's really not a practical thing, although people have tried this. Mm-hmm. The real concern, the soft targets, as it were, is the medical, university, and research community. Because what you find in those cases are things like blood irradiators, other devices in the medical community that use radiation for a perfectly legitimate purpose, where there's enough curies, enough radioactive oomph, that if somebody got a hold of that particular amount of, say, radioactive cesium, you would have the components for several dozen dirty bombs. So what the law enforcement community has been doing, what they've been doing on federal, state, and local level, is focusing on these hospitals and making sure they understand what they have, first of all, because the medical community isn't, you know, necessarily sure what's inside that blood irradiator, and secondly, trying to give them some security protocols that they might not have had in place otherwise.
And then when you think about the kind of global perspective that Commissioner Ray Kelly of Police Department in New York has to take, I mean, does he really feel like he's got a grip on this problem?
The real concern about all this is that you can make a dirty bomb very quickly. It's not like assembling a plutonium implosion device like, you know, you saw at the Trinity test or dropped on Nagasaki. It's you could get the explosive separately, go quickly steal some material, put it together, and set it off in very short order. So that's kind of the nightmare scenario, is that it's so quick. Are they able to, you know, where are they going to get it along the way? Will they get the intelligence in the first place? Will one of those pager-sized detectors go off? Will a helicopter give them some sort of indication? And if they have it, will they have enough time to get people out of the way or defuse the situation? That's the nightmare.
And this is something that is very present, not just for New York, but there have been terrorists who have attempted dirty bombs around the country.
Yeah, well, you know, of course, we all remember the story of Jose Padilla, accused of being a dirty bomber in the wake of 9/11. There was another Al-Qaeda-linked terrorist in London who tried to amass about 10,000 smoke detectors. Not nearly enough, incidentally, but nonetheless had that in mind. And we learned in one of the WikiLeaks dumps that there was a white supremacist in Maine who was shot dead by his wife. Apparently, it was an abusive situation, but he had amassed a fair amount of nuclear material.
As an Eagle Scout, I'm very proud of an Eagle Scout in your story, but this guy actually went out of his way to try and build a nuclear reactor. It's kind of fascinating that he got as far as he did.
David Hahn is his name. He's from Michigan, and this happened some time ago, well before 9/11. But nonetheless, in the course of getting his Atomic Energy Merit Badge, he was a kid who was very fascinated with science, obviously. The Atomic Energy Merit Badge says nothing about creating an actual breeder reactor, but he decided that would be a good idea. And so he tried to amass the material using lantern mantles, which at the time contained thorium, smoke detectors, and then scraping the radium off of old clocks, you know, the glow-in-the-dark clocks. Now, he didn't amass much material, but he was very close to the point where he could actually create a tiny breeder reactor. Now, a breeder reactor is something that, if not controlled properly, can be a very serious thing. The idea is to actually change the isotopes, change the elements. And that's what he wanted to accomplish. He got caught before that all happened. The authorities got wind of it. It became a Superfund site. Everything got carted away to a Utah dump, and David Hahn has not been involved in breeder reactors ever since. But And what's important to point out is he said it took him years and a tremendous amount of determination and hard work just to amass enough to do his tiny breeder reactor. So I think the point there, the takeaway from there is it isn't that easy to get this stuff. When you look at the medical community, we look at the research community, a possible theft there, we should be worried. As far as people buying up smoke detectors or small amounts of isotopes, not a huge concern.
All right. Miles O'Brien from NewsHour Science, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
I'm Hari Srinivasan. Stay with us.